Welcome to today's episode of The Wisdom Journey. With this lesson, we begin our time in Philippians. The Apostle Paul reveals the ultimate reason for living. Imagine being redirected by God and finding yourself in a place you never expected or wanted. That was Paul's experience. His letter to the Philippians was written from house arrest in Rome. Yet, it's filled with gratitude and purpose. Stephen called this lesson the reason for living.
If the Apostle Paul and his missionary partner by the name of Silas had gotten their wish, well, they would never have planted a church on the coast of Greece. That's because they wanted to continue traveling east. But God's Spirit kept impressing on them while to change their plans. Following a vision from God, Paul was invited to Macedonia, according to Acts chapter 16. And with that divine redirection, the gospel movement began moving westward into what we now call Europe. 10 years later, Paul wrote a letter, what is often called an epistle, to the very first church planted in Europe. And by then, it was a thriving, healthy church located in the city of Philippi. Well, as we set sail today into the opening chapter of this letter, Paul describes himself and his young colleague, Timothy, as, he writes, servants of Christ Jesus. Now, the word Paul uses for servant, doulos, refers to slavery. This wasn't exactly a typical way to introduce yourself. Slaves were owned by their masters. Most slaves had no personal rights. But let me tell you, your master would make all the difference in your life if you were a slave. So Paul adds here that he and Timothy are slaves of Jesus Christ. Now listen, the only true freedom is found when your master is Jesus Christ. Now, you might think that after Paul's opening introduction, he'd deliver the details of, you know, his difficulties in ministry and in life. But instead, from verse 3 all the way through verse 7 here, Paul thanks God for this little church in Philippi. He writes here in verse 3, "I thank my God in all my remembrance of you." Well, why is that? Well, for one reason, verse 5, "because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now." Have you ever thought about the fact that the only church we can gather from New Testament scriptures that supported Paul financially was this little church in Philippi? In fact, Paul writes at the end of this letter in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 15, here's how he ends the letter. He says in verse 15, "No church entered into partnership with me in giving and receiving except you only." I mean, can you imagine that? No other church saw the missionary potential of Paul like this church in Philippi. And Paul was convinced that this little church would stay faithful. In fact, he promises them here back in chapter 1 and verse 6, "He who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ." Now, with that, we get a closer look at Paul's prayer journal here in verses 9 through 11. You know, most missionaries today send out prayer letters so their supporters will know how to pray for them. I can remember my missionary parents every month sending out that letter. Paul's going to do that too. But first, he tells these believers how he is praying for them. Here's what he writes to them beginning in verse 9. "It is my prayer that your love may abound more and more with knowledge and all discernment, so that you may approve what is excellent, and so be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God." What a prayer here. He's effectively telling them, "I'm praying that you will live this kind of life for Christ." In fact, he's reminding them, this is why you exist. This is the only way you could ever live a fulfilling life. Reminds me of a rather famous atheist from the world of science who once said, "If we find the answer to why we exist, it would be the ultimate triumph? Well, here's the answer, right here in verse 11. We exist for the glory and praise of God. Now, with that, Paul finally gets around to sharing some news about himself. I want you to note this, however, beloved. Rather than deliver a list of challenges and problems and difficulties, Paul wants his readers to know that his difficult circumstances have actually helped advance the gospel in two somewhat unexpected ways. First, Paul is writing this letter, we know, from Rome. He's under house arrest. He's guarded by members of the Imperial Guard. And because of his testimony before them, they all came to know that he was imprisoned for the sake of the gospel of Christ. Verse 13 tells us that the gospel was known throughout the Imperial Guard. You see, Paul didn't look at these men and just see Roman soldiers. He saw potential disciples of Jesus Christ. Second, when other believers learned of Paul's imprisonment, they became even more courageous in their witness. You know, God often works that way, doesn't he? Just read Fox's Book of Martyrs sometime, and you don't end up discouraged. You end up inspired. Well, now here in verse 15 to 18, Paul admits that not everybody was representing Christ with pure motives. That made his ministry difficult, even more difficult. He writes here in verse 17, some proclaim Christ out of selfish ambition, not sincerely, but thinking to afflict me in my imprisonment. Now, instead of becoming bitter over these individuals who are criticizing him or competing with him, Paul writes in verse 18 that at least Christ is proclaimed, and in that I rejoice. That's a great attitude to have toward your critics, by the way. Now Paul speaks to his faithful supporters in Philippi. He's telling them he's not sure what's going to happen when his court case comes up before Nero, the emperor. But here's what he does know. He writes in verse 20, it is my eager expectation and hope that I will not be at all ashamed, but that with full courage, now as always, Christ will be honored in my body, whether by life or by death. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Now, frankly, Paul is torn between the two. He knows that there's a fruitful ministry for him if he lives, but he's willing to die, and he's happy to go home to be with the Lord in heaven. Again, this takes us back to Paul's opening introduction. He's a slave belonging to Christ. Christ is his master. Freedom in life is not doing whatever you want to do. It's doing what God wants you to do, and that's how Paul felt about it, whether it's living and serving him or dying and going to live with him. I remember reading an interview with Johnny Erickson Tada, a quadriplegic for many decades. As an older woman, she reflected on the diving accident that changed her life. She had accepted Christ as a young girl. She'd sort of mapped out her life as a teenager. Her plan was to get good grades, go to college, marry a wonderful man who made a lot of money, and have a family. However, she said this in the interview, my boyfriend and I were doing some things together that were wrong. In April of 1967, I came home from a sinful Friday night date, threw myself onto my pillow and cried, oh God, I am staining your reputation by saying I'm a Christian, yet doing one thing Friday night and another Sunday morning. I'm a hypocrite. I want you to change my life. Do something in my life because I'm making a mess of the Christian faith and I want to glorify you. Well, 3 months later, she had that life-changing accident. Johnny went on to say that for quite some time after the accident that paralyzed her, she told God she would never trust him again with another prayer. She was angry. She was afraid. But after struggling for some time, hating her condition, wanting to die, Johnny said that one day she prayed another prayer, a short prayer, that changed her life. She prayed, oh God, if I can't die, show me how to live. Johnny said in this interview I read, that was probably the most powerful prayer I ever prayed. Well, that happens to be Paul's attitude here. He's under arrest, imprisoned by the Imperial Guard. This is the prayer for the Christians living in Philippi. And let me tell you, beloved, this would be his prayer for you and me today. Lord, if it's your will that we don't die, show us how to live. Well, let me tell you, beloved, as we continue our wisdom journey through this little letter, the Lord is going to answer that prayer. He's going to show us how to live. Until next time, may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.
That was Stephen Davey, the president of Wisdom International, and this is the Wisdom Journey. Today we learn from Paul's letter to the Philippians that our ultimate reason for living is to glorify God. Whether you face trials or triumphs, you're called to live for Christ. So today and every day, be thankful, courageous, and unwavering in your faith. Remember, like Paul, your circumstances can serve to advance the gospel. Let's pray for the strength to honor Christ in every situation and seek His guidance in all we do. Are you passionate about deepening your understanding of God's Word and serving in ministry? Stephen Davey shares your passion. As the founder and president of Shepherd's Theological Seminary, Stephen is dedicated to training and equipping men and women for service to God. Graduates of STS are making a difference in churches and communities worldwide. Many have earned their degrees and gone on to plant new churches or serve as pastors in established congregations. If you or someone you know is interested in graduate-level theological training, consider STS. The school offers a 100% paid scholarship for qualified men who aspire to become pastors. If you're ready to study full-time in Cary, North Carolina, and commit to a 3-year program, this opportunity might be perfect for you. For more information, visit wisdomonline.org/STS. But STS isn't just for those called to full-time ministry. Many people just take a class or two to enhance their understanding of the Bible and theology. You don't have to leave your current job or relocate. With online courses available, you can join from anywhere and study alongside fellow students. Take the next step in your spiritual journey by visiting wisdomonline.org/STS today. Then, join Stephen next time here on the Wisdom Journey through the Bible.